If you brought your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 15. We're in the study called The Vine. We're looking and unpacking John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is one of the best teachings of all the teachings of the Lord are excellent, but this is just an amazing portion of Scripture. John chapter 15. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And that is exactly what he wants us to have, is abundant, fulfilled life in him. John chapter 15, we'll only look at 3 or 4 verses this morning. We'll not read the entire text, but I want us to unpack 3 or 4 verses this morning for your consideration. And really the sermon title kind of sets the tone for us today. It's "The Secret of Living is Fruit Bearing." John chapter 15, we'll notice in verse 2, 8, and 16. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit." If you'll jump down to verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, and he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them in the fire, and they are burned." If you go down to verse 8 now, "By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." On down to verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, that whatever you ask, what the fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I may give to you." Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to remove any obstacle standing in the way from us hearing from you today. God, speak precisely through your word today. Thank you for this wonderful worship that we've had through music. And I pray, Father, as we worship now through your word, that you will change our very lives in this room today. Father, take this time and rivet your word into our souls, that we might not sin against you, and that we will be about your business of making fruit. God, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Throughout Scripture, there are 3 different kinds of vines that are represented. First of all is the past vine. That's the nation of Israel. Israel is a wonderful, wonderful country. In an act of wonderful grace, God transplanted Israel into Canaan and gave the nation every possible benefit. If there ever was a nation that had everything it needed to succeed, it was indeed the country or the nation of Israel. If you wanted to look at the vine that is represented, there is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. We'll not take time to read them. Psalms chapter 80, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Ezekiel and Hosea. All through the Old Testament, you'll find that the past vine represents the nation of Israel. There's also the future vine. That's the vine of the earth described in Revelation chapter 14. The Gentile world system ripened for God's judgment. Believers are branches of the vines in heaven. The world is the branches of the vine on earth. The unsaved depend on the earth for substance and satisfaction, but the believer depends totally upon Christ Jesus for everything they need. And so there is the past vine, the nation of Israel. There is the future vine, the vine of earth or of heaven. And then there's the present vine, which we'll be studying today. That is our Lord Jesus. Of course, he is the vine that is irreplaceable. He is the one who is not, it's not a photocopy. He is the original vine. He is the true vine, as it says in verse 1. "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears fruit, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." You see, I think that verse of scripture ought to be stamped into our hearts that we are going to go through some difficult situations, but when we're growing, we're going to continue to grow. And there has to be a time where there's some whittling away of the dead bark or the dead branches that aren't bearing fruit. And so, folks, we are understanding that Jesus is the true vine. As Christians, we do not live on substitute. The symbolism of the vine and the branches are similar to that of the head and of the body. We have a living relationship, alive a relationship with Christ Jesus, and we belong to him. Now, we talk about in church ministry, we talk about the word results. We talk about that in business a lot as well. But in church work, we even talk about we need to get results. You know, we need to see growth in results. And that's absolutely what we want to do. Amen? We want to see results. But actually, the word results, conversations about that in church ministry, it's actually not a biblical concept. Manufacturing machines can produce results. Machines cannot produce fruit. It takes a living organism to produce fruit. And it takes cultivation. It takes nourishment. It takes watering. It takes pruning to produce fruit. A good crop does not come overnight. It takes time. We must remember that the branches don't eat the fruit. People eat the fruit. Amen? We eat the fruit. We are not producing fruit to please ourselves. We are producing fruit to serve others. We should be the kind of people that feed others by our words and our works. Coming up, you have a ministry opportunity called Mission Fairbairn or Fairbairn Mission. We're kind of couching that by calling it Love Serves. Fairbairn loves to serve. Fairbairn First Baptist loves to serve. And so we have that opportunity. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." So I want you to look in your outline this morning and look at the message truth that I have for us today. The message truth is this: we are here to bear fruit. If I stopped right there and gave the invitation, that's enough right there. Amen? But I'm not. I have much more to say. But we are here to bear fruit. Once we accept the simple fact, we are well on our way to making our lives meaningful and useful. Church, listen to me. We are here to reproduce ourselves. A person that is not reproducing themselves is away from God. Simple as that. Amen? We can like it or lump it. You can get mad at me or like me. I'm telling you the gospel. Every person that is a Christ follower has the responsibility. It's not an optional plan. It is a mandate laid forth by God that we are to bear fruit and to reproduce ourselves. Amen? Churches that don't reproduce themselves are dying breed. We must make some decisions as a congregation through this transitional process that we will do whatever it takes, however long we have on this planet, to bear fruit. I want to give you six kinds of fruit that is noticed in this passage today. It will help us unpack and understand who we are in Christ Jesus. There are six kinds of fruits. The first one is this. Our fruit begins, and I've said it time and time and time again. I'm going to continue to say it until we start believing it and living it. Amen? Our fruit begins with winning others to Christ and helping them grow. There is a phenomenon moving in Christendom today, especially in the North American church. The North American church has this idea that we don't have to go out there and witness, that those that are going to get saved are going to get saved. I truly believe in the sovereignty of God. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows who's going to say yes to him. But he has given every one of us a mandate to go out there and to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. He has given us a mandate. There is not an optional. It is not an optional plan whether you share your faith. It is an option that you want to be obedient or not. That's next week's sermon. It's talking on obedience. And folks, let me tell you something. There is a number of ways to share our faith: by serving others, loving those, taking care of the need, and proclaiming verbally, articulating the plan of salvation. Folks, we have no other option. This world is dying and going to hell around us. And we have a mandate to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are several different kinds of spiritual fruit that are named in the Bible. Obviously, bearing fruit, winning others to faith in Christ. We are part of this great harvest. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I want you to notice what the writer of the book of Proverbs says. Now, many of you Bible scholars will know this verse, but listen to what the writer in the book of Proverbs says. 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteousness is the tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Say that with me. And he who is wise wins souls. Say it with me again. And he who is wise wins souls. And you say, well, Pastor Dan, I don't know any lost people. Then let's go to Walmart. You say, wait a minute, can we buy them there? No. I've met more lost people in Walmart. They have to be, because they surely don't act saved. Amen? If you don't go to Walmart and you say, well, man, do you not like Walmart? I love Walmart. I just don't like to go. It's just too much. If I want to go walk, I want to go walk somewhere else to find something. You can get your exercise by just going and getting one item in Walmart, because you got to walk all over the store. And the people who work there, if you work at Walmart, I'm sorry, but you don't know where your stuff is. Now, Publix is a different story. They know everything about that story, amen? But if you don't know any lost people, then get outside your comfort zone, because there's lost people in Fairbanks, Georgia. I believe there's going to be someone in this day, today, that's going to die and bust hell wide open from Fairbanks, Georgia. You know why? Because we have sat back long enough and said, they're going to come to Fairbanks First Baptist. By the way, part of what my job is to re-identify this church with the community. That's part of one of my jobs. One of my goals is helping us reintroduce ourselves to the community. And one of the things that I do when I first come to a church is when I'm serving as a transitional pastor is the first thing I do, I stop at one of the closest local supermarkets or maybe a 7-Eleven type store or a QT, and I ask the question, hey man, I need to know, can you tell me, now I could look this up in my GPS and probably have, but could you tell me where Fairbanks First Baptist is? And I did just that. And guess what? You know what people would say? I don't know. Do you live here? Yeah. Do you not know where Fairbanks First Baptist is? No, I don't. I said, well, let me tell you. It's across the street from Landmark Christian School. Oh, I know where that is. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That is an indictment to this church that we have lost the identity of being a soul-winning station. Church, let me tell you something. It is time for us to lay aside all the stuff that we thought about church ministry and say, you know what? Let's go back to the basics. He who wins souls is wise. Our fruit begins with winning others to faith in Jesus Christ and helping them grow. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Now notice what he said that Mark says in Mark chapter 1. I want you to just look at this, not my words. This is the word of God. You got a problem with it? Take it up with God. Mark chapter 1, verse 17, listen to what the words of Jesus, Mark writes the words of Jesus. Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become, say it with me, fishers of men. Folks, let me tell you something. We're not here to just grow vegetables. We're here to reproduce ourselves in a lost and dying world to share the gospel. So our fruit begins with winning others to Jesus and helping them grow. Second kind of fruit is the daily practice of holy living. The daily practice of holy living. We are a part of this great harvest. We grow in holiness and obedience in bearing fruit. We grow in that. Paul considered Christian living to be fruit and dedicated life to Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. When we know God's perfect plan for our lives, when we boil it down to the simplistic terms, is that we live the life of Christ. We live the life of Christ. It still does not give us the right to not speak the word of truth. So we must have a daily practice of holy living. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Notice what it says. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We should say, God, what is it in my life? What is it in my life that does not pleasing to you? Church, the daily practice of holy living. The third kind of fruit that we have. The third kind is sharing what we possess. Sharing what you possess. Now, I know the history of this church has been very generous. Man, we have a plan called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We have a plan called the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And you surpass that virtually every time. You give tithes and offerings. Church, it's time for us to give our lives. It's time for us to give our lives. I love when Paul is saying Christian living, bearing fruit, when he wrote in Romans chapter 15 in the letter to the Galatians, he's saying the fruit of righteousness is loving those folks out there. Look, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 because I want you to notice what he's saying. Galatians chapter 5, you'll know this, those of you that are Christ followers for any length of time, but I want us to refresh our memory. Look what he's saying. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now to those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also say it with me, walk by the Spirit. You're a generous people, but it's time for us to speak and articulate the plan of salvation by giving of our lives. The fourth kind of fruit is present a clear Christian character. I want you to notice in John chapter 15, verse 8, he moves to this whole character thought pattern here. He's saying, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. He always keeps bringing that bearing fruit back in, does he not? I think he's trying to drive home the point to these disciples that you got to bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Folks, let me tell you something. God's commandments are not an option. God's commandments are his enablements to our lives. If we live by his commands, he enables us to live out the Christ-like character that he's called us to. So by presenting a clear and Christian character, by our fruit begins with winning others to Christ, the daily practice of holy living, and sharing what we possess. And the fifth kind of fruit that we notice here is the bearing fruit in every good work. Wow, Dan, you just said that. Well, no, not really, because you can have good character, not do anything. Amen? You can sit at home and have godly character and not do anything, but you're not fulfilling God's purpose and plan for each and every one of our lives as well. Can you imagine if every one of us just said today, Lord, this week, the next 168 hours from this point forward, that's 1 week, 168 hours. God, would you please somewhere along the way in that 168 hours, place somebody in my life that I can share my story with, and you do your work. You see, folks, let me tell you something. If you're going to save them, then they're lost. I love what Dwight Moody said, the great Baptist preacher, the great preacher in Chicago that the Moody Bible Institute is named after. Dwight Moody said this. He was walking down the streets of Chicago one day, headed to a conference to speak, and he was walking down the streets of Chicago, and this old derelict drunk comes staggering up to him, reeking of alcohol. He says, "You're Dwight Moody." He said, "I sure am." He said, "I'm one of your converts." Moody quickly looked at him and said, "You look just like one of my converts." If he was Christ's convert, he wouldn't look that way, would he? Church, it's time for us to make the commitment to bearing fruit in every good work. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, is Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Matthew 16 says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, that the Father may be glorified in heaven." Turn with me quickly and we'll close out in just a second, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I love this passage because it takes us through that whole grace idea. And then verse 10 tells us we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created for good works, bearing fruit in every good work. And sixthly and finally, the kind of fruit is by praising and giving thanks to God every day. Notice what verse 16 says. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you." Church, let me tell you, I want you to circle in here close. I know I've been strong this morning. You say, "Well, you've just been on the mission field. You're all amped up." That might be about that much of it. This has been burning in my heart since I arrived, since I said yes November 15th, when I said yes to become your transitional pastor, when your team invited me to come. I said yes. It's been burning in my heart as I've been studying and looking at this congregation and the opportunity that you have. Folks, we have got a unique opportunity to be a church unlike any other church in this region. You know that we're really the only Baptist church in this area. There's some south of us, 10, 11. I'm talking at a 5-mile radius. There's really not another Southern Baptist church. But we've got thousands upon thousands of people at our beck and call. And I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that many of you in this room, hopefully all of you, you're ready. I'm giving you a challenge like never before. If you want to see something you've never seen before, we've got to make the commitment to praise God with every ounce of our energy, and we've got to do something we've never done before. You say, "Well, Dan, I've shared my faith." Well, that's great. Keep doing it. But if you're not, start doing it by praising and giving thanks. Give God the thanks today for leaving you right here to reach this community. Amen? You've got a unique opportunity, but the choice is yours to make. I want you to notice what he says in verse 16. "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of God in my name, he will give to you." Do you want to see the baptismal waters stirred? Do you want to see young children come to faith in Christ and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Then ask him, and then go do something about it. If you want to see this building filled to capacity, looking more like heaven than ever before, ask him and go do something about it. Ask whatever, and I will make it happen, is exactly what he said in the 21st century vernacular. Notice what he says, the writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. I want you to notice this in closing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. "Through him then, Let us continue offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You say, what has that got to do with it? Begins with us giving him thanks and praising his name for reaching down from the halls of heaven and snatching us out of the pits of hell and setting a mandate into our lives that we should be about bearing fruit. The true branch, the united to the vine, will always bear fruit. Not every branch bears a bumper crop. Not every branch will bear a bumper crop. Not every branch has a bumper harvest. But there's always fruit where there is life. If there's no fruit, the branch can be cast in the fire and burned up. However, he's not talking about losing your salvation here. That would be contradictory to the word of God. Folks, let me tell you something. He is saying to us today, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but you will not have the fruit of a multiplied life in Christ Jesus. Some of us are getting up in our years in this room, aren't we? I'm there. I am considered in your category, and I'm enjoying it. Somebody asked me on this trip this last week, when are you going to retire? I said, what is that? I have no plans for retirement. You said you didn't make plans for retirement package or your mutual savings or what? You don't have a retirement plan? Well, we got one of those, but I'll never see it. I don't plan to ever stop. And I'm challenging some of you that have to get busy starting again. And those of us that are in our years that have more time, we don't have to punch the clock at work. It's time for us to get busy bearing fruit. God didn't create us. Christ didn't die for us that we might go through life just getting. God created us and Christ purchased us that we might invest our lives by giving.